Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio. Now, Vegas insider, senior handicapper, and fan of the cold Budweiser bottles, Brian Edwards.
It's got to be touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Brian Edwards.
I don't really love it.
Brian Edwards.
Were they using the cream cheese to butter the bagel?
Brian Edwards.
I'm going with the cowgirl.
Here is Brian Edwards.
There he is, at Vegas B. Edwards, MajorWager.com, one of our favorites because he's a fantastic storyteller. I'm still upset over Kamaru Usman, but B, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, brother. But you had to enjoy that another just epic performance from Justin Gaethje last weekend.
Listen, how live we at? It's funny too. I was like, man, how live is plus 190? Like, I was pretty live. He's so sick of people picking against him in Vegas. Like, he just annihilates guys.
Shame on me. I stayed away. I didn't play any of those UFC fights last week. I stayed away. Hey, I was just locked into the madness. But I did watch the Gaethje and the Usman fight.
Hey, so sometimes, like, with no skin in the game, man, it's just fun to be a spectator.
Absolutely.
So what do we got? I think this one's interesting. I was talking when, you know, Ravi was co-hosting last week, and I was saying this week, Michigan State always seemed like a team coming in this one that had another gear in them. But everybody sleeps on K-State, even though their backcourt is fantastic. This one may be the best game of the bunch. No disrespect to Gonzaga and UCLA. But this has all the makings of a track meet.
Yeah, well, I'm staying away from the total. But, you know, I immediately, at the first under 16 timeout, I had buyer's remorse on backing Shaka Smart in March against Tommen. But I think the Izzo factor has Michigan State as an undeserved favorite here, at least in my mind. I mean, Kansas State only shot 5 of 21 from 3, 24% last week. Kentucky beat them on the boards 42-23. Kentucky got 17 offensive boards. Keontae did not have a good shooting game, 5 of 14. And yet K-State still wins. And Marquise Noel from New York City has not been home in 3 years. Was at Arkansas Little Rock for 2 years. And then K-State has not been home to visit, not once. I mean, I guess they got into NYC on Tuesday night. But after his awesome performance last week, they are back in his hometown. And I just think K-State's better. I mean, props to Michigan State. They looked great last week. But I think K-State advances, and I think the Keontae Johnson, Marquise Noel story.
Noel's a stud.
It's kind of flying under the radar. I think after this weekend when K-State makes the Final Four that Keontae's story and Noel's story are going to get bigger.
He should have been a Husker. They had him on campus. He couldn't get medically cleared, and he's in Manhattan 10 days later.
Well, same with the Gators. I mean, we never medically cleared. I only think four teams. I think it was Memphis, K-State, and I feel like there was another one or two.
B, I'm still kicking myself over that because he's a stud.
Brian, on that next game, we've got Arkansas and UConn. UConn is a 4-point favorite. Probably going to be a super physical game. What do you like on that one?
Well, I got UConn at -3 early in the week. I guess I still kind of like them a little at 4. But look, I am scared big time that Dan Hurley is just going to get outcoached by Musselman. But I mean,
God, his really presser was trending yesterday. I was like, oh my goodness.
I mean, I'm really scared about the head coaching matchup here, but I'm still back in UConn. I thought they were the best team in the country November, December. They had a bad January, but since January 31st, 11-2 straight up, 10-3 ATS, 9 of those 11 wins by 9 or more, the 2 losses by 2 to Marquette at MSG 2 weekends ago, and by 3 at Creighton, you know, Sweet 16 team, no shame losing in Omaha. I got to go with UConn here, but again, I'm a little. It's not as big a play as my K-State and Miami. Those are my two favorites.
Okay, so I kind of been on this. I don't love them. I just said this is a better team, and I think I talked to you about them a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. Miami's. I'm an ACC honk, right? And Miami's a better team than I think people really thought. I knew that they were hurt and I hate their shot selection. But, man, do they play hard. And they're confident, man. It doesn't always look pretty, but Larrañaga's way better than the national media gives him credit for. They're getting seven.
Yeah, I love Larrañaga. And, hey, that Drake team was good, man, all year. And the Canes were down by six with 4.5 minutes left. But like you just said, Damon, that you never saw one bit of panic in them. And the ACC Player of the Year, Isaiah Wong, had an unbelievable dud that night. It was 1 of 10 from the field. Yep. At a season low, 5 points. But yet they found a way to survive. And then they put it to Indiana big time, and Wong bounced back big time. Look, they've won 11 of their last 13, but the two they lost, their double-double machine, Norchad Omier, who's back now, you know, got hurt
healthy.
First 2 minutes of the Duke game. They got killed on the boards. That doesn't happen if Omier's healthy. And then they were without Nigel Pack when FSU rallied from a 25-point deficit and beat them at the buzzer. But those are the only two games they've lost in the last 13, and they weren't full strength. They're full strength now. They're sky-high confident. I think it's a 50-50 game who wins outright. I mean, do I think you should be favored? Of course. But should they be favored by seven? Heck no, in my opinion. And last thing, Miami is an underdog this year. 8 times, 7-1 ATS with 5 outright wins.
Let's get to a total. The most underappreciated team in still left in the Sweet 16, not named K-State, is probably Tennessee. I think everybody thinks the coaching factor is going to kick in. They've been banged up. They go through some horrendous scoring droughts, but boy, do they clutch, touch, and guard. FAU won't back down. What do you like here in the total?
Yeah, so I'm going under. Now, I got it at 131 a couple of days ago. It's down to 129.5, maybe even 129. I still like it. Look, I've been critical of Barnes's March failures, so I got to tip my hat. What a masterful game plan. They bullied Duke, and they exposed them as soft, ended their 10-game winning streak, and sent them to Durham with hurt feelings. But look, it's not just Tennessee that plays good D. FAU plays good D. They held Memphis to 65 last week. Memphis averages 79.5 points per game. They held UAB to 56 in the Conference USA Tourney Finals. UAB averages 82.2. Unders on a 4-1 run for FAU. They've held 4 of their last 5 foes to 65 or less. The unders on a 9-4-1 run for Tennessee. But the push was 130 points, which mattered when I was under 131 early in the week. And then one of the overs was 131. So, low-scoring games, I think that's what we'll get.
B, let's get to the other number one seed, Alabama, also a 7-point favorite in their matchup with San Diego State. I know you're on the +7 for Miami. Where are you at with the -7 on Alabama?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points here. I mean, my only concern with Bama is just that they, in program history, they've never been to a Final Four. They've only been to one Elite Eight. But I don't really think that it matters that much. I mean, look, they're 16-4 in 20 games against teams in the field. They've won 11 of those 16 by 8 or more, which is relevant, laying the 7.5 here. They've won 24 of their 31 games by 8 or more. San Diego State is 8-5 in 13 games against teams that made the field, but only one of those teams won a game, and that was Furman, who they beat in the round of 32. So their 8 wins, those 8 wins, those teams are long gone from this tournament. And Alabama was 6-0 against teams that made the round of 32 and lost, and they're 4-3 and 7 games against teams that are still in the field. I just don't think the Aztecs have enough offensive firepower. Alabama eventually gets some separation and wins by double digits, in my opinion.
Maybe not a play, but just to get a feel, no coincidence they have the highest total at 149. I like Texas. The matchup is interesting. Sule Boom's a guy I watch a ton. He will be harassed. Will depth be overrated or underappreciated when it comes to Texas versus the few guys that will play for Xavier? Just 4, though. I don't know. I don't know if I trust Boom, and I think Texas's defense is better than we talk about out loud. What do you like?
I'm going to stop short of like. I lean Texas. I lean Texas. Man, Xavier looked horrible against Kennesaw for 30 minutes, but then their last 10 minutes of that game, and then they looked lights out in round two or round of 32. And they're doing all this without Fremantle, their third leading scorer. You know, props to Sean Miller. They've done a hell of a job. I think the run ends here. Lean to Texas, but I mean, if you're tailing me, that's a small play, if you know, if that.
Let me ask you real quick. 149 seems about right, but it is significantly – it's even higher than Gonzaga and UCLA, and I think they'll score. Does that seem like a lot to you?
Well, the way the unders were cashing last week, it does. It is the highest total we've got of the eight games. I just don't have a feel for this total at all. I don't have much there.
Seems high. All right, we'll be a spectator. B. I appreciate you, buddy.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
That's the great Brian Edwards. Always good at what he does. You know Xavier inside and out. They play good enough defense just to get the ball back on offense.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're kind of built like some of the Creighton teams in years past, right? The pre-Kalkbrenner teams, basically, where, yeah, they probably didn't have as much interest in locking you up the way that they do now. But they were good enough that to let their offense carry them through. The depth concerns me a little bit without Fremantle, and they weren't super deep before. But talent-wise, and there's not a lot of teams that can score with them as long as Sule Boom shows up, which he doesn't always.
Yeah, Xavier's going to play 7.
Yeah.
Texas will play 10.
Yeah. That
and
could be a little rough.
It's a good 10. It'd be a frenetic pace. We'll see. Coming up, one of our favorites, fresh off of Vacacion. Michael Bruntz from 24/7 Sports. Back after this on Coffee and Cream.